for the provision that you've given us. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, Scripture says that it is you, Father, who's given all men the ability to gain wealth. So God, none of us would be making a dime without your ability working in us. Sinner or saint? Sinner or saint? All those people out there that don't know you, that are making all kinds of money, they're making money because you gave them the ability to do it. And so God, we thank you. And Lord, the fact that you ask for 10% and a little bit more back, you could have asked for way more than that. And so, Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, you bless everyone who is currently tithing that 10% and a little more. God, bless them according to your word. Lord, we thank you, rebuking the devourer, blessing us abundantly above and beyond, God. Lord, all the promises that we see attached with giving, God. And Lord, those that may be struggling with their giving and say, man, I don't believe all that stuff and all these things. God, we ask that you'd move in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, oh God, and convict them and bring revelation and say, let them hear that whisper from you saying, trust me with all your heart. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. 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 Facebook and YouTube, good morning. Man, so good to be back. So guys, we're going to talk about a few weeks here, still on talking about prayer. Really, we're going to tie it into prayer here, but we're going to talk about something the Lord's been on me for about, I don't know, about 5-6 weeks or so, been thinking about it and praying about it. But we're going to talk about the power of agreement. The power of agreement. Everybody say, the power of agreement. And we're going to look at many passages of Scripture over the next few weeks. We're going to probably tell some stories. And we're going to find out how powerful agreement is. Both directions. Is that all right? So, here's what to agree. This is on the dictionary, all right? To agree with something. Agreement means to have the same views, emotions, to harmonize an opinion or feeling, often followed by the word with. So, to agree with somebody, right? Number two, to give consent. To, right? To give consent to something. To live in concord or without contention. Everybody say without contention. Yeah, the Bible actually talks about that. Without contention. We're to live without contention with one another. Is that true? Last one. To come to one opinion or mind. To come to an arrangement or an understanding. Or to arrive at a settlement. That's to agree. Here's a statement that we'll get in and out of over the next few weeks, but when the Lord really started talking to me about this, this is what he said to me, and many of you probably heard this, it's not super deep revelation, but the Lord said, whatever you agree with is what you empower. Whatever you agree with is what you empower. And as we heard our brother appeared this morning talking about, you know, that God has done all the work for us and Jesus done all the work for us, all these things. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, but I don't know. I plan on seeing the new movie, Jesus Revolution. Anybody seen it yet? I plan on seeing that. That's I like that, right? But let me just say this. A brother that I know, not done him well, good brother, really doing a lot of good work for the Lord, but he's got some interesting views on how the kingdom works. Some people would probably think that my views are interesting on how the kingdom works. And that's all right. But this is what this brother said on social media. He says, oh man, he left the movie. He said, wow, what a good movie. And I just wish we could just start loving God and loving each other and stop putting all these rules on everybody. I'm okay, man. I hear what you're saying, but you can't read your Bible too long without seeing some kind of requirement. Yeah. If you actually love Jesus. Is that true? Requirements don't get us to God. But when people, this is how I, like when we talk about the promised land of the Old Testament, it was only faith that kept them out. The lack of faith is the only thing that kept them out. But if you go read through the Old Testament, when God starts talking to the Israelites about the promised land, and he starts talking about things that will be in the law at some point. But this is the phrasing you'll see. When you are living in the land that I'm going to give you, be careful that you do this. Right? In other words, he's saying it's only faith that gets you into the promised land, but once you're in the promised land, it's discipline that keeps you in the promised land. I saw one person, preacher, the other day said this, it's a miracle that delivers you, but it's discipline that keeps you. Is that true? We can be saved and still make a mess. And this is where God's getting at for so much of the body of Christ. He says, look, I love you. I brought this vision, like that little nod, like this, like Jesus going, like, it's all right. You know, this is good. We're on a good track here, right? But it's like God's saying, I'm trying to pull the church out of this pattern of, like, you know, making a mess. Anybody tired of making messes? I am, for sure. Is that all right? Matthew 18. Verses 19 and 20, he says this, Jesus, again, I say to you that if two of you, let's say this together, church. Oh, come on, everybody. I know I've been gone a few weeks. Come on. Again, I say to you that if any two of you, come on, everybody, one more time, agree on earth about anything that they may ask, maybe God will listen if he's paying attention. It shall be done by my Father who is in heaven. On Wednesday night, we had a good prayer meeting. It started off a little slow, but we shook it off, and it ended up pretty good. And there was a young lady here who was suffering some symptoms of a kidney ailment or what have you. And so here, I'm just going to tell you something right now, church. The Lord is really stirring something in my spirit about how we pray about things. And so we're praying for her. But I want to just tell this to you, all right? Here, just hang on here. God says, look, we need to catch something. Like, there's things that we can't do that only God can do. Is that true? What do you think, Kevin? I am picked on you in 3 weeks, bro. There's certain things that only God can do. Church, is that true? But you know what? He says, stop asking me to do things that I told you to do. Right? Can I get an amen? Stop asking God to do things that he's given you the power to do. Oh, God, we ask that you'd heal Kevin. God says, I told you to do that. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and God will raise him up. And if there's been any sins committed, they will be forgiven him. Is that true? Oh, God, deliver so-and-so. God says, I told you to do that. Jesus sent out disciples two by two, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, prophesying. Is that true? If you think about that, church, they are brand new believers. They're not seasoned Christians. Because they come back and they're like, wow, this is awesome, Jesus. Even the demons are subject to us in your name, right? Jesus says, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life, right? In heaven. Is that true? So we see this situation where God's saying, I don't ask me to do things I've told you to do. Is that true? So this young lady we prayed for, here's how I would have prayed just a month ago, six, eight weeks ago. Oh, God, we pray that you'd heal our sister. Well, instead, I laid hands on, she has some hair on her head, like Kevin. But I said, this is how I prayed. Spirit of infirmity, we curse you right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to bow. We prayed for this young lady for a few minutes. We put some oil on her forehead. And she said, how you feel? She said, I feel a little better. I said, all right, well, let's pray again. I texted her the next day. I said, how you feel? She goes, I feel great. In the name of Jesus. Is that all right, church? Here's what we got to get. This scripture, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, yes, I got it, thank you. If two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, everybody say, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like God's in my midst. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Is that true? It don't matter how you feel. We have missed so many things from God because we think nothing's happening because we don't get goosebumps or something. When we prayed for this lady on Wednesday night, I don't feel nothing. I don't feel one thing. I said, I don't care if I feel this or I don't feel anything else. What does God say about this situation? And I'm going to come into agreement with what God says about it rather than coming to an agreement with what everything else says about it. Because whatever I agree with is what I empower. Is that true? So as I was studying this passage here, came across this word, right? Again, I say to you that if two of you agree, everybody say agree. Agree on earth. So this word agree in the Greek original text here is the word, I'm going to butcher it, but it's like symphoneo. And it means this, to call out with, to be in harmony with, or to agree. To call out with, to be in harmony with. And as soon as I read this definition, the Holy Spirit said to me, I said, oh my gosh, this is where we get the English word symphony from. Symphoneo, right? We get the word symphony from it. And I've never been to the symphony, you know? We don't talk like that anymore, do we? But we go to like a concert, we hear music. We heard music we sang this morning, right? And I thought it was pretty good. But if you hear somebody that can sing, like just one person, they can really sing, you're like, wow, man, that person can really sing. But then when you add another vocal into the mix and they can really sing and they start harmonizing, you know what it produces? A symphony. Because there's agreement musically. And if two people are singing the harmony together, it sounds good. But when somebody starts to harmonize off of the melody line, and they're good at it, you're like, man, that sounds so good. Can I get amen? When you get just a guitar, it's good. But then you add a keyboard in there and some drums and a bass guitar. And if everybody's playing relatively together, what should be happening is kind of this one sound should be coming out. Right? You shouldn't really, if a band's really, really good, you can't really pick anything out of the mix. You just hear it as one sound. You go, wow, this song is so good. Because the song is the wholeness of everything that's coming out of all these different parts that are in agreement with each other. And so the first thing, my beloved, that we all need to learn how to do is to agree with what God says. Right? We heard our brother this morning up here talking about identity and that, you know, do we feel like we're worthy? Do we feel all these things? Church, the devil is going to come after you about your identity. You're not worthy. You are not good enough. You're not saved. You're not forgiven. You're not a son. You're not a daughter. You're not a king. Who do you think you are praying? Who do you think you are preaching the word of God? Who do you think you are serving in the church? Who do you think your marriage is going to fail? Your kids are going to be messed up. Your finances are going to, you're going to fail financially. You're going to fail in your business. The devil will not stop trying to steal who God says you are. He ain't gonna stop until you and I stand up and tell him to shut up. Because I know who I am. I know who I am. Can I get amen, church? I'm a child of God. I'm washed by the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror because of him who loves us. Is that true? And as we continue to agree more and more and more with what God says, the kingdom of darkness loses power. Is that true? So when we see this scripture here, it's like Jesus taking it up a notch. So these two people have to agree with what God says about something first, but then they come into this symphony of prayer. He's talking about prayer here, right? If any of you are asking God something which is simply prayer. Is that true? So we see agreement in prayer now. So I thought about this symphony, right? As we are here praying on Wednesdays or Sunday mornings, or y'all praying at home with your spouse or your kids, or if you're single, you're just praying and it's you and the Lord, whatever that might be. But what we've got to do is check our spirits in that, are we in agreement with what's going on as we gather to pray together? Some people say, well, Pastor, I come to prayer, I don't really say anything. Are you agreeing with what's being said? Are you adding your faith into that situation and saying, okay, yes, God. Even if you're just in your heart, you're saying, yes, God. Amen, that's so good. Can I get amen? Right? It's the power of agreement. Is that true? So we think about this for a moment. Agreement, back to the musical analogy, right? If you have, there's always got to be melody, right? You ever hear singing and there is no melody? It's all harmony? Sounds weird. Is that true? Anybody knows music? If you hear singing and the melody drops out, you're like, it sounds okay, but there's something missing from it, right? The harmony is always built off the melody. So you have to figure out, there's got to be a leader in that situation musically, right? There's got to be a leader of the band. There's got to be a lead singer. Some person's going to sing the melody, and then something's always going to build around that. Is that true? So we think about this spiritually. It's like what the Lord's saying to me is like, there's the leader obviously is God, but then he's going to pick leaders on the earth. Is that true? So on Wednesday nights, we have this young man over here who's been leading our prayer ministry for about 100 years. He looks real good for being that old. He's pretty old over there, young in his spirit. But this is a man of God who's been faithful for over 20 years here. And many times when there was, two folks in here, you and somebody else, Pastor Al, many years you came and prayed all by yourself, right? Nobody was showing up to prayer meetings. But part of the thing about agreement is, church, like this past Wednesday night, there was a situation where the Lord was talking to me about something, but it wasn't fitting, right? It wasn't fitting what was going on. And so I didn't just go in. I'm the pastor of the church. I can do whatever I want. No. I'm coming here because there's somebody who's been put positioned as a leader in that situation. So I'm going to come and submit myself under the leader that's in that situation. Even though I'm the leader of the church, I'm going to submit myself under that leader. And I didn't say anything until he came over to me. At one point, he says, hey, you look like you got something, Pastor. What do you got? Can I get an amen? And once I said, all right, he asked me I do have something. But if he didn't ask me, honestly, church Wednesday, I wouldn't have said anything about what I was reading. Because the prayer meeting was going a different direction. I came into agreement with what the leader of that situation and that environment was doing. Is this true? Is that all right? So I think it's, what we have to see here, this Greek word is to call together with, call out together with, to be in harmony with. And what Jesus promises us is that if only two, so imagine if there's 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or 200 or 1,000 that are all coming together saying, you know what, we're going to agree with what God is doing right here. We're going to agree with it. And that doesn't, come on, church, anybody ever going into a prayer meeting and didn't like how it was going other than me? Anybody come to church and didn't like how it was going other than me? Anybody ever been with brothers and sisters and they said something that rubbed you the wrong way a little bit other than me? Right? Just me? That's it. I guess I got to get right with Jesus, man. Can I get amen? Come on, church. Folks are going to rub you the wrong way a little bit once in a while. And I've learned that that's more of a test of my character than it is of theirs. Right? Paul tells us to give one another some room. I'm paraphrasing that verse, but he says, make room for each other's faults. Except for Kevin, he ain't got no faults. Kevin is all good. Everybody else needs room for their faults. Is that right, church? And because what's going to happen is when we start highlighting people's faults, because we all have them except Kevin, when we highlight everybody's faults, you know what the devil jumps in on in a second is, man, there's division right there. automatic. We swing the door wide open, big old neon sign out front, open for business for the devil. As soon as I want to start looking at my brothers and sisters and highlighting what is wrong, what I disagree with, how they're talking, how they're praying, how they're doing this, all these things, I try to say, look, this, the Bible says to receive everything and cleave to what's good. Right? I try to get past how are they saying this? What's the language they're using? How long are they talking? How short are they talking? I say, is there something good in what they're saying? Is there something good here that I can grab onto and agree with for the kingdom of God? Amen. Jesus is telling us, church, that if we can put all of our selfishness aside, if we can see past the faults that we perceive in others, if we can get the planks out of our own eyes and realize that though this person has fallen short of our lofty standards, that God may have still called them and chosen them to be a part of his family and his kingdom. And he might even be using them in the moment. Can I get an amen? And when we choose, everybody say choose. When we choose to harmonize with our brothers and sisters in prayer, Jesus said that whatever we ask will be done by our Father who's in heaven. Wow. What if, church, we prayed for ourselves? We prayed this in the prayer room this morning. What if we prayed for ourselves? God, give me ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through this person. Do you think that would shift the culture in the atmosphere of the church? Instead of being like, oh, there it is. Brother Bob's praying again. Probably take a nap before he's done. Right? Can I get amen, church? Instead of listening and saying, man, is there something coming through Brother Bob? I figured something out here. You might not like this, but it's true. God does not need my permission to do anything. I love one preacher I had recently, and he says, you know, we pray like this. Oh, God, we give you permission to come down and dwell among us. And he's like, since when does God need your permission to do anything? Again, it's this prayer. Church, I've prayed that a million times. You know? But then we flip that one, and then we start begging God, oh God, please come down, as if that's going to make him move. Is that true? How about we say, we're two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in your midst. How about we just acknowledge, if we're gathered together in his name, which we are currently right now, we acknowledge the truth of the scriptures, which says God is in our midst right now. If you guys are aware of the Asbury, anybody seen the sermon that started that? It's terrible. Oh, it was a horrible sermon. And the guy that preached it even admitted, he says, that was the worst sermon I've ever preached in my life. It was a sermon about being a servant. That was it. And he goes, the chapel was over, and he said, all right, everybody can leave. But the altar call that they had, it's a Methodist university, I think it is, Methodist, right? The altar call that they had there, basically all he said was, look, if anybody is carrying pain in your heart from trauma and people that have hurt you, just come on up and leave it at the altar. And only about 6 kids came up to the altar. Everybody else left. And these 6 kids stayed there all day. And then the students that left, a couple hours later, they were in class. They say to their professor, yeah, I just really feel like I need to go back to chapel because I should have gone up there. I should have gone up front. And these students started peppering back in and going up front. And then it didn't stop for 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't know if they felt anything. Do you see what I'm saying, church? It's more about, do I believe what God has said or not? Is that true? So God doesn't need my permission to do anything, to choose anyone, to move in a certain place, or anything else. What God is looking for is our agreement. It's our agreement. Scripture at the end of my notes here, which we'll probably hit again, but Ephesians 3, 20, 21. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we can ask or think. Anybody know how that verse ends? According to the power that works in heaven. No, don't say that. According to the power that works in us. Right? So we, most of us know this scripture, right, church? We, most of us know this God who said, man, any God can do anything. If nothing's impossible for God. All these things, and God's saying, right, but what I'm looking for is I put some power in you, and I want to take what I can do that's absolutely impossible, nothing's too difficult for me, says the Lord. This God that can do absolutely anything, but he says, I want to do it through you. I want to do it through you, right? There's an agreement there. Do you see that, church? So I'm just going to say this here. I think God is calling us as a, not just River Valley, but the church, right, to a place where we need to turn our ears away from listening to trash about other brothers and sisters, to listening to a lot of complaining about whatever's going on, complaining about church, complaining about politics, complaining about, I'm just looking down right here. I'm not looking at nobody. Amen. Right? Listening to negativity and all the reasons that this is wrong or that is wrong and all of these things. I'm going to still look down here. Don't get mad yet. I'm not talking about suggestions on how to improve on something, my beloved, right? I'm talking about folks that have been praying for the church and all these things or the region, and they feel that the Spirit of God's given them some insight and wisdom and strategies or whatever, right? But what I'm talking about is this here's the phrase, right? Misery loves what? Company. Anybody ever been in a good mood and then someone walks up to you and starts complaining about something and you're instantly in a bad mood? Yeah. Because misery loves company. Yo, God said to me, he's been on me for weeks about this. He said, son, look, I got issues in my family, extended family, all kinds of crazy things going on in my extended family. And I've been complaining about it for years. Oh, yeah. Sure, they did that again, obviously. Yo, God said to me, you can complain about it, or you can pray about it. Can't do both. Thank you very much. I heard that. You cannot do both, church. You cannot complain and pray. You cannot do it. It's not possible. We can pray about something. We can speak life into it. We can speak kingdom into a situation. We can speak the word of God into a situation. We can prophesy the situation. We can, as the psalm I sent out, Psalm 18:37, I'm going to pursue my enemies and overtake them. I will not stop until they are consumed. I will crush this enemy under my feet, and I'll sprinkle them to the wind like dust. Right? That's not about our neighbor, our coworker, all these different things. It's not about the flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? He's saying there's something behind that. There's something behind this person's situation, their behavior, their addiction, their broken marriage, their broken family, all these things going on out there. The culture's trying to get us to look down at what's going on. God's saying, look past what's going on and go after it. What the enemy wants us to do, church, is say, well, you know what we need? We need a little bit of psychology. Some psychology will fix this problem. Look, I'm not against psychology. I was a psych major when I got saved. I think psychology has some value to it. But when we understand that something is spiritual, there's not a psychologist on the planet that can fix a spiritual problem. Oh, spiritual problems are fixed with spiritual solutions. That's it. You know who's the greatest psychologist ever? Jesus. Come on, church. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to what? Bind up the brokenhearted. set the captives to liberty, right? To open prison doors and let prisoners go free. Well, if the Spirit of the Lord is on Jesus to do that, guess what? The same Spirit that raised him from the dead is on you. So that means that the Spirit of God is on you to bind up the brokenhearted, right? Don't ask God to do something he's called you to do. God's on us to go around and help brokenhearted people get better, but not by my wisdom, but by the Spirit of God that's in me, right? It's God who said, the Spirit of God is on you to set captives free, to preach good news to the poor. Is that true? Here's what we got to do, church. I think that we need to get some balance back here. Back to my point about, like, complaining, all those stuff. Like, look, everybody, we all have things we want to complain about. Is that true? Is that just me, maybe? I don't know. Maybe I got to get right with Jesus again this morning, right? We all have something. I could leave church today. Within 10 minutes, I could be complaining about something. Can I get an amen? Somebody's going to cut me off in traffic. Somebody's going to look at me funny at the stoplight. Somebody's not going to want to go to lunch where I want to go to lunch. I'm going to get mad about that. Whatever's going to happen, something's going to happen, I can complain about it, or I can guard my heart against that, because, you know, Paul says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. All things. Not most things, and then you can have a bad day one day a week, Kevin, where you can be bad. Just make sure it's not Sunday. All right? Can I get an amen, church? Is this all right? What we need to do, my beloved, is stop climbing down into people's stuff. Stop climbing into people's stuff with them. I did that for years, and talking with a preacher recently, he said, let me ask you a question. How well has that worked for you? I was like, it hasn't worked at all. He's like, why you keep doing it then? I was like, I don't know. That's what I was supposed to do. He said, no, what you need to do is say, I feel badly for you. I have empathy. I have compassion. I'll weep with those that weep and all these things. Fine, cool. That's fine. But I'm not going to climb into this with you. I'm going to reach down and pull you out of this onto the rock where I'm standing. I'm going to pull you out of this place of darkness into the light. I'm going to speak truth into this situation. I'm not going to agree with what's going on in your life. I'm going to release truth into your situation because it's only the truth that sets us free, right? I was talking with a good friend a couple weeks ago, and a long time ago, this person was in a really bad situation, and they went to see someone for some help, and this person told them something that was really offensive in the moment, but this person said, it's what I needed to hear. It was really hurtful, really painful, but it's what I needed to hear in the moment. Amen. So here we are, church. We cannot wallow in misery and walk in glory. We cannot whine and complain, gossip, talk about everything under the sun except the victory we have in Jesus and expect to see God's glory in our midst. This is how James would say it, the Apostle James, the brother Jesus, we cannot have sweet water and salt water coming out of the same spring. Do you know the most powerful thing, according to the Bible, that we have as human beings is our tongue? This is how James says it. It's all bonus material right here, church, right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's in Proverbs somewhere, I think it is. That's not in James, but same concept. But then he goes on to see, he describes the tongue like this. He goes, look at the great ships of the sea. They are massive and powerful, but they are steered by a small rudder in the water. Look at a forest fire, how mighty, but it started with a small spark. He says, so is the tongue. It's a restless evil full of all kinds of poison. He says, man has tamed every beast of the earth, flying things, creeping things, but no man can tame the tongue. With it, we both bless and curse. We agree with heaven and we agree with hell. Oh, that's pretty strong, wasn't it? Pastor, do I agree with hell? I don't know, probably. I certainly have. Right? Is this all right, Kevin? Should I go back to Florida? Say yes. I'll go. I'll go. Most vacations, I'm ready to come home. This one, I was not. Flew into the blizzard. What on earth is going on? I bind the devil. Dude, I knew Kaz. I could feel Kaz praying for me on the plane. Lord, give him some snow. Hate you, bro. That's not true. That's not agreement. I'm cutting. Love you, man.
Whether we both bless and curse, right?
Think about this, church. If you've been born again, how many people here have been born again? Let's raise our hands. If you've been born again, then that means that within you, we already heard this morning. I know he doesn't read my notes. I know he doesn't. That within you is a stream of, everybody say living water. Living water. Living water, right? And that living water is what, church? What does she describe? The living water is who? Is the Holy Spirit, right? So that means the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. And I heard this, I was already done with these notes. Already, I watched this, somebody sent me this clip from a preacher. And this is what this preacher says. He goes, look at Jesus Christ did not come to earth, die, live a perfect life, die, rise again, ascend to heaven so that you could fill your building full of people, so that you could build a great ministry, so that you could make a name for yourself, so that you could make bad people good. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, rose again to bring dead things back to life. Yes. To bring dead things back to life. Right? Here's a scripture, another one, church. Think about this one. The Bible says in Paul, right? Paul writes in Corinthians, and he says this, that God who said, let light shine out of darkness, talking about creation, he says, is the one who has shone in our hearts. So some of y'all look at me like, okay, where are you going with this, pastor? Here's what the Lord, I've been on this particular verse for months, right? Months I've been on this one. Here's what God's saying. He says, we're so upset about the darkness out there. Oh God, look at Washington. Oh God, look at Hollywood. Oh God, look at the school system. Oh God, look at this. He says, son, the reason there's darkness out there is because there's darkness in here. The darkness is here, not there. It's here. So in creation, there was darkness over the face of the earth. It was void. And God said, let there be light. That's what Paul's referencing. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness is the one who has shown his light in your heart. He said, just like the earth was dark and without form, empty, dead, so is your heart. But I'm going to shine my light in it. Can I get an amen? Man. Is this all right, church? The Spirit of God is in you to bring every dead thing inside you back to life. He's there to chase out the darkness. He's there to chase out the pain. He's there to chase out the trauma. He's there to chase out every lie that's ever been spoken about you, about who you are and how God made you, all these things. And we get so upset about it. Oh, no, what is everybody doing? Dude, God says, stop crying about it and start taking that thing down. Start agreeing with what I say about this situation, right? Oh, God, take this principality down. I told you to do that. I told you to do that. Why is there this environment in my home? Oh, God, fix my home. He says, you do it. You fix it. I told you to do it. Here's another one. Hit me on the way in. Be diligent to maintain the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. Oh, God, help us maintain the unity in the church. He says, you do it. I told you to do that. He's talking to you, church. You. Be diligent to maintain the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. Maintain it, not build it, maintain it. In other words, the unity of the Spirit's a gift from God that he says, now you steward it. Is that right? How do we steward the unity of the Holy Spirit? By agreement. Amen. See, church, once we're born again, we're saved, born again, we begin a journey of sanctification, which is just a fancy word for becoming more and more like Jesus. right? How many people, just raise your hand. We got some new folks. It's all right. How many people have or are currently still trying to figure out, why am I on earth? Ready? I got your answer. To be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus, man. That's it. And when we commit to that journey, each one of us, God will start to reveal a more specific role as to why we're here, which is what we really want to know when we ask that question. Is that true? Oh, God, how are you going to use me? He goes, no, you need to be more like Jesus first. Right? There's like the general stuff. I can cast out demons, all that stuff. Everybody can do that. But the more specific roles of like in the body of Christ, like, you know, I'm a pastor, that's my role, teacher, all these things, that was revealed as I just decided to be more like Jesus. Right? God didn't reveal that to me when I was just doing whatever I wanted. It was a surrendering to his will to just, God, clean. I don't care how you got to do it. Fix me. I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I'm angry. Fix me, God. Fix me. I don't care how you got to do it. I don't care how bad it hurts. I don't care how long it takes. Just fix me. Because, all right, I like that. I like those kind of prayers. Right? And that's, as we surrender to that, God will start revealing why he's put you on earth in a more specific way. Is that okay? Right? The biggest part of that journey, though, church, of that journey of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, right, is coming out of agreement with evil things and coming into agreement with godly things. There's a young man on I found him on social media, Isaiah Robbins. Anybody know that guy? Let me see him. Young, he's a Christian rapper. I'm almost done, everybody. And I really like him. He's really solid stuff. But he's putting videos up like this. And I said, my gosh, I hope Christians aren't doing this stuff. But he's putting videos out saying Christians should not be listening to these artists in the music industry. And he lists all these artists. And I'm like, my goodness gracious, I hope nobody in my church is listening to these folks. Not Christian folks. I'm talking secular people. You know that these people have sold their souls to the devil. Apparently, there are churches that are singing like Beyonce songs in their church. Beyonce, for crying out loud. I guess she was a Christian at one point. She certainly ain't now. Come on, church. Right? Folks, I'm looking over here. Christians, if you're watching Stranger Things, I hope you're convicted right now. Stranger Things, watching stuff on television that's demonic.
Yes.
It's demonic.
Yes.
I watched that show for 1 minute. I was like, yikes. Because everybody's like, oh, Stranger Things, look at this show. Oh, my gosh, it's so cool. I watched that show for 1 minute, and the Holy Ghost is all over me. Turn that demonic garbage off. It is demonic. Church, we are playing with this stuff. We're agreeing with the devil all week long, and then we want to agree with the Holy Ghost for 2 hours on Sunday. Ain't gonna work like that. Come on. I'm telling you what, I said something a few weeks ago. I've hardly watched any TV for months. Don't want to play video games, don't want to do none of that stuff. And it was just, I wasn't like somebody was like, click, one day I didn't watch TV. I was like, all of a sudden, you know what? I'm reading my Bible more. I'm praying more. I'm picking up my guitar at home more and singing songs to the Lord more. And all of a sudden, it was like, just because I'm refocusing that free time on God, all that other stuff is just falling away. Nobody had to lay hands on me and cast a demon out. I was choosing to agree with certain things that were, as Paul says, were waging war against my soul. Yeah? Is that all right? Just making sense, church? Almost done. We're going to look at a passage next week, a couple more passages about agreement. So back to this statement I made earlier. Stop trying to do things that only God can do. Let me explain what that is. All right, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Can you save yourself? Can you pay for your own sin? Can you fill yourself with the Holy Ghost? Right? Can you be right with God on your own? No. Stop trying. Come on, church. How many times, I remember one time, I'll tell you a quick story. How many people have repented, how many people have sinned in the church? Okay, good. Somebody need to get saved here, for crying out loud. Right. And how many people have you, so you've repented of that sin, and like really repented, like repented and renounced it, right? You turned away from it. And then at some point in the future, you repented of that same sin again. Why? Because you feel guilty. Guess what? You came into agreement with something that's not true. Come on, church. If you repent of something, God forgives you. Instant. Instant. Well, Pastor, I still feel bad. Well, that's fine. That's probably good. You're going to feel bad for a while, little while, so you remember how bad you felt next time you want to do that. Is that true? Paul says, I'm not glad that I made you sorry, but I'm glad that I made you sorry to a point of repentance. Right? It's okay to feel bad that you did something wrong, but if you have gotten right with God about it, then move on. Is that true? So stop trying to do things God can do and stop asking him to do things that he has told you to do. So very simple, easier said than done, but the truth is simple, church, and if we'll catch it, I know it will help us walk straighter with the Lord. There are only two kingdoms at work on the earth. Only two. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Yeah? Jesus said, you are for me, or you are, I guess, the prophet Elijah said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. One or the other. That's it. Right? I can agree with light. I can agree with darkness. I can agree with truth. I can agree with lies. I can agree with God. I can agree with the devil. Whatever I agree with is what I empower in my life. Is that true? Anybody ever have a bad thought about your spouse? Don't raise your hand. We're going to have an altar call in a minute. You can get right with Jesus then. All right? Stop agreeing with that. Come on, church. I didn't say don't address what's wrong. Somebody cleared the throat right there. I didn't say don't address what's going on. But the devil, that was just good timing. I thought it was good timing. But come on, church. I'm done right here. This was not in my notes, but I'm done right here. This is Deuteronomy. It says this, that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put what, church?
10,000
to flight, right? Talking about agreement, right? Any two of you agree touching any one thing, asking anything that God will do, Father in heaven will do it, right? One puts 1,000 to flight. That's pretty good. Jesus put legion to flight. That means 1,000. The legion is a number, right? Jesus by himself put 1,000 demons to flight. But he says if there's two, 10,000 can be put to flight, right? So I've been thinking about this on vacation, sitting by the pool, thinking about it, just thinking about this, right? Going, all right, God, what are you trying to tell me here? And this is what he said to me. He says, son, look, the devil knows what the Bible says. The devil does not know what the Bible means because that requires discernment. One pastor I was listening to recently, he says, look, it's not so much about knowing what the Bible says, it's about knowing what the Bible means. Knowing what the Bible means requires discernment, which only comes from the Holy Ghost. The devil has no discernment, but the devil knows what the Bible says, right? He knows spiritual laws. He understands principles of the kingdom, both of his kingdom and the kingdom of God. Is that true? Right? One other preacher says this, why are words so important? Because the devil responds to words. The devil responds to what we speak. So when we speak something out of our mouth that is agreeing with the devil, it empowers him to work in that situation. Right? Now, some preachers will say, you gave him legal authority. That's not true at all. You can't find that in the Bible anywhere. That's not true. You're saved. You belong to Jesus, man. He ain't got done legal authority. The issue is that whatsoever you are sowing, you're reaping. You're sowing words of doubt. You're sowing words of fear. You're sowing words of discouragement. You're sowing words of defeat. You're sowing words of like, oh, look, this is broken. This is broken. This is messed up. No, I'm going to start speaking life into these things. I decree in the name of Jesus that this marriage will turn around right now. I bind every devil that's got his hands on this thing in the mighty name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, I command you to loose your hold over this marriage right now. I command you to loose your holds over this church right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. So here's what God said to me. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. The devil is terrified of 10,000 getting put to flight. So he's just trying to put two to flight. The devil is trying to just put two people to flight. Trying to get just a wedge in between just two people. Because if two people will come together and agree, 10,000 demons are put on notice. Church, think about this the next time you got some kind of weird thought jumps in your head about me, probably. About your brothers or sisters, about your spouse, about your children, about your coworkers, about Kevin, probably, right? About whatever's going on, church, come on. Can we start recognizing that maybe that's the devil realizing that that partnership that God is trying to build, that agreement that God's trying to build, is putting the devil on notice. He says, man, as long as I can keep tension here, as long as I can keep discord here, as long as I can keep these guys grinding on each other, then they're losing the power to push all this demonic activity backwards. How's that sound? Let's stand up. Just a moment, Kevin. Yes, you can. Just a moment. Jesus says it like this, my beloved. It's not what goes into a mouth, the man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out. Because out of the mouth, Jesus, out of the mouth, the heart speaks out of the mouth, right? Out of the abundance of the mouth speaks, right? Jesus says this. Because out of your heart comes all kinds of wickedness, adulteries, fornications, lies, murder. All kinds of things. Can I encourage you, my beloved, to, number one, we're going to pray in just a moment, but to start recognizing, right, if something weird hits you about somebody, pray for that person right there. Pray for them right there. Oh, God, I lift up Kevin in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless that man of God. I don't know what's going on, but I am not letting the devil in. Elder Mo would say, we ain't giving the enemy any room. Right? I just bless Kevin right now. God, help my heart, what's ever wrong in my heart about Kevin, or whatever it is, church, can I get amen? And make sure that what's coming out of our mouth is life, right? Blessing, not cursing. Is that true? So here's how we can really indicate to how what we're agreeing with. Just, I'm done right here. If our mouth is filled predominantly with complaining, anger, frustration, depression, gossip, casting of judgment, worldly discussions, doubt, fear, and all those kinds of things, that's an indication in my heart that I'm really agreeing with the kingdom of darkness around me. But as I examine what's going on around me in my life, my home, my marriage, children, finances, health, career, ministry, all these things, as I examine those things, maybe I see lots of problems. I see the devil doing this and darkness over here, all these things. But my mouth is full of faith and courage and victory and power. Church, I don't care if I might weep. There might be tears streaming down my face, but I'm going to speak victory. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak power into that situation. I don't care how hard something's coming at me. I am going to declare the word of God. Amen. So King David says it like this. He says, I flooded my pillow with my tears. But then if you go on to read that psalm, he says, Selah. But God is my victory. God is a lifter of my head, right? Though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning, right? I might be hurt, I might be broken, I might be angry, but I ain't gonna let that stuff push me into agreeing with something that will just make that thing worse. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, help us, Holy Ghost, convict us in the name of Jesus. Help us to catch words before they start pouring out of our mouths, God. Convict us, oh God. Convict us, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into every marriage in this place, every person online listening, every person that's going to listen online. I speak to life to every marriage, God, every marriage that's struggling. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for restoring, Father. We thank you for repairing and rebuilding what the devil has damaged in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we speak to children right now in the name of Jesus, and we break every lie, God. We break every lie that this culture has tried to put on them, Father. Lord, that the rulers and authorities of this age, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that the God of this age has blinded their eyes in the name of Jesus, Father. Let the eyes of the children come open right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak to finances right now. We speak to finances, Father. Lord, as the media and the government keeps telling us, oh, look at electricity, look at oil, look at gas, blah, blah, blah. Look at groceries, all these things, Father. I decree that our provider is you, God. Father, I don't care if eggs are $100 a dozen. You're going to make a way that I got some food in my belly. Come on, church. My Bible says that my God will supply all my needs according to the riches of his glory. God, we thank you for incubating this place. Thank you for hedging this place in, God. Lord, we thank you that you're raising this church up in the name of Jesus, oh God, that a light will shine forth out of this place, Father. A light will shine forth out of every home that calls this church their home. A light will shine forth out of every marriage, out of every family, out of every single person, Father. That, Lord, the darkness will shudder. The darkness is backing up, God. The darkness is coming down. That every principality that has shadowed this land for so long, everything that's kept this valley, Lord, downcast and depressed in the name of Jesus. Your time is over. Your time is over. And God, we speak revival right here. Right here. Right now. We speak an awakening, Father. We release it, God. We thank you for filling every heart with your fire, God. Not weird and spooky, but just say, man, I hear the voice of God. I can't do that anymore. I can't watch this stuff anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. And you know what? I need to read my Bible. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to call that sister or brother in the church and encourage them. I need to take them out for some coffee and pray with them. I need to do something and help other people. Spirit of God, pour fire in our hearts right now. Right now, God. Right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Church, I'm going to open the altar for you. If something I said today, you've been agreeing with the wrong thing, I want you to just come on up here right now, you and Jesus, and lay that down. Lay it right here at his feet. Say, I'm picking it up again. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. As we open the altar for some ministry, you need to leave. Please just be quiet and do that so people can spend time with the Lord here. But I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I decree that this year is a year of great breakthrough for every single one of you. God, give us the grace to agree with your will and your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. In Jesus' name. Kevin, hang on. Kevin had something. Did you remember?
He did. All right.
Morning. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm
just
loud. So my name is Keith, not Kevin. It's funny that people will tell me that I should say things, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me the whole time. And when the pastor was talking about being born again, I was actually born again twice. And the first time Jesus took me from the grave in 2005, and I never realized what was going on until I got born again in 2019. And I'm just grateful. And John was talking about hearing music, and I heard a song today, and I think the name of it was Nobody. And it says that you're breathing, you're walking, you're a talking miracle, and that's me.
Well, amen, church. Bless you all in the name of the Lord. Have an awesome week. We'll be here for prayer. Oh, hang on, everybody. Hang on. D, come on up here. Oh, yes, announcement. I know. You should have flagged me.
It's just a week away for our painting party here in the back room. So I'll be out in the waiting room, in the foyer. If you have any questions, it's $30 a person, $15 for ages 10 to 21. And we're going to have charcuterie. We're going to have raffles and prizes. So it's a great time of fellowship and honor the Lord with our love for each other and have some fun. So hopefully I'll see you all. Kevin will be there painting a bird on a branch. So.
Amen, guys. Thank you. Whoa. Thank you so much. Blessings on you. Have an awesome week. We'll be here at prayer Wednesday, 6:30 sharp. We're starting at 6:30 for our midweek prayer meeting. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name.
Maybe it's these jeans.